Welcome to the Indiana Bible College Podcast. I'm Justin Ranking, the Executive Vice President here at IBC, where we are committed to training tomorrow's apostolic ministers today. Whether you're listening to a chapel message, an IBC library talk, or another special session, we pray this episode is a blessing to you.
What an honor to get to be here with all of you today. I don't take this lightly. I was telling the two guys traveling with me, if you really want to freak Adam Hunley out, am I allowed to use that word? Sorry. If you really want to like get me nervous, put me in front of Bible college students and young people. I would probably, well, I won't say what I'd rather, but you all intimidate me just a little. And here's why. You hear preaching, you hear amazing teaching, you hear it all, like every day. And I don't want to come here with nothing. And so I honor you today. I esteem you. You should know that Adam Hunley esteems this room very, very highly. And I'm incredibly honored to get to be here. It's been 17 years since I last preached at a chapel at Indiana Bible College. That's been a minute. Thank you to Brother Carson, Brother Ryan King, Brother Kilman, every leader, every staff member and faculty, every missionary kid, every North American missionary kid. Wren, so good to see you. Love you. I'm going to not call all the names of all the people, but just so good to be with all of you. Brother Carson Holmes, all I can say is what should have happened just now is you should have closed with "Musicians come." What an amazing word from God. If you can't do that, come on. That's missions. Missions is not money. Missions is not programs. Missions is wherever you are with hungry people. My goodness, what an amazing, amazing word. I'm so incredibly thankful for what God has already spoken to us today. I'm going to go as quickly as I can, so we'll go to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and I'll read it quickly while you're still looking for it. I'll read it. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which is just a little presumptuous, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep." Everybody say "the deep." "Let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered him, saying, "Master, we have toiled all the night. We've taken nothing." In other words, Jesus, you really don't know what you're talking about. "But, because I'm a nice guy, at thy word I will let down the net." Notice Jesus said nets, Simon says net. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." You can be in the will of God and still start to sink. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray together and ask God to open our understanding and our minds over the next few minutes. Father, I thank you for your amazing love. I thank you for the call of God that is so real in this place this morning. I pray, God, that I would not endeavor to impress, but that I would endeavor to walk in the Spirit over the next little while. I pray, God, that you would anoint me to speak a word that will change somebody's life, not because it comes from Adam Hunley, but because it comes from you. I pray for an anointing of the Holy Ghost even now over this room, that there would be an opening of our hearts and our minds, and a working of the Holy Ghost that goes beyond just a simple sermon or a chapel service. I pray the word would work, and the Spirit would work as it is working even now. I pray it and I thank you for it. Unleash something in this room, O God. Take away our self-consciousness. Take away our lack of confidence in you and replace it with faith. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. I praise you for it and I give you glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. We are believing for Pentecost every day. I'm going to talk more about that tonight, kind of do a deep dive into what Pentecost every day is, and I'll be happy to answer anything about the global church, any country you're interested in any part of global missions. I'll be happy to talk about that tonight. My first day, first service, literally, I'm not speaking hyperbole, it was my first ever service in the Middle East. I landed on a late Wednesday night in Amman, Jordan, and Brother Gary and Sister Linda Reed picked me up. It was about 2 a.m., and they picked me up from the old Jordan airport that doesn't exist anymore. And I went to their home. I'd never been to the Middle East for ministry ever before. I was about 20 years old. And for some reason, they had agreed to let me come, and so Brother Reed had to travel the next day, and so Sister Linda Reed, and I'm not sure anyone in this room ever met her. She's been gone several years now. Sister Reed was, in a word, intense. Sister Reed could read your mail literally right when she met you. She'd literally shake your hand, but you know what the Lord just told me? And she would go into, and then she would like step out of it and be like, you know, what do y'all want for dinner? Sister Reed had the ability to reprimand, speak the word. Sister Reed was amazing. So the first Friday, church is on Friday in most of our Middle Eastern countries. This is literally my first service in the Middle East. To give you a vision of what Sister Reed was like, if any of you go on AIM, you might encounter a missionary like this. Sister Reed was Superwoman. Sister Reed was leading worship that morning while she played the piano for worship. While she took the offering from the piano, while she made the announcements, and then while she prepared to preach the service because her missionary husband was out of town, and then she was going to, of course, do the altar call and pray 50 people through the Holy Ghost that morning. So halfway through the service, this is my first ever service in the Middle East, and Sister Reed, without, you know, she's got this thing going on with the mic right here. She didn't take both hands off the keyboard. She only took one hand off the keyboard so she could remove the mic and point at me. In the fourth row over on this side, there was a Sri Lankan lady, about 5'8", 5'9", tall for a Sri Lankan lady, foaming at the mouth, clawing at people as a demonic spirit began to manifest out of her. Chairs were flying everywhere. Chaos had broken out on row number 4 on the right side of the platform, and Sister Reed could not be disturbed to leave and stop the service, so she lifted one hand, moved the microphone back, and pointed at me and said, "Can you go take care of that?" With all the confidence I could muster, for my first service in Jordan. Is this normal? Like, is this what happens? I went and I took care of that. We took the lady out and she got delivered and got the Holy Ghost and the demons came out and she stopped clawing and frothing and all those fun things. That was my first service ever in the Middle East. I find that missionaries have a habit of putting people into the deep end of the pool. I was in Mexico a few years earlier. I was 17 years old. I'd never been outside of the United States ever before. And I did not speak Spanish. Is this a safe place? Okay, I did not speak Spanish. And so I'm listening as Brother Went. It's a Sunday afternoon. We're in the radio station in the morning. And then we're getting ready to go have this amazing lunch. And I overhear Brother Windrost speaking to someone else in English. And saying, yes, we're going to drop Adam off tonight, and he's going to preach in Spanish. And then he named the church. Two things. Number one, this is the first I've heard of it. Number two, I don't speak Spanish. And so, brother, I went over very humbly, as Amers are wont to do with their supervising missionary. And I said, hey, Brother Dross, I think I must have misunderstood you, because it sounded like you said you're dropping me off alone to preach at that church. He said, yes, Brother Adam, it's going to be great. You'll do wonderful. No problem. So they dropped me off at the church. You know, this is like 3 hours advance notice, and I've got like 80 words of Spanish that I can summon. And so I preach in Spanish for about 6 minutes. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost did not fall. I wish I could say that there were multitudes that came. No one came to the altar. In fact, at the conclusion of the service, the pastor got up and tried to fix whatever I had done. And so at the end, to let you know how it went, they had tea and cookies at the end of the service. And so I'm sitting there, and no one will talk to me because I don't speak Spanish. And so I'm sitting there, and this lady comes over and starts talking to me. And this other woman over here says, I know enough Spanish to know the sentiment of what the woman says. She looks at the lady, and she says, did you not hear him preach? You know he can't speak Spanish. I'm like, well, that went well. That was my first time ministering in Mexico. So because of that, the concept that Jesus gives to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 5 resonates deeply with me. The text is the original calling of Simon Peter, who would turn into an amazing man of God with tremendous faith, the preacher of Pentecost, the mouthpiece of the first century church, the one who would be the one who declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the guy, but Peter wasn't there yet. And so Luke gives details that Matthew doesn't give, gives texture and warp and woof to the entire story of Simon Peter's earliest experience with Jesus. But I would point this out to you. Jesus, when he called what would become one of the greatest apostles of all time, Jesus did not call him outside of the context in which Peter was familiar. Jesus shows up at the seashore in Galilee, where Peter is familiar and he's a fisherman, and Jesus speaks the language and the lingo that Peter understood when he says, just launch out a little bit and let me preach from your boat. And then he takes it a step further and he says later on, I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is using language that Peter gets. He's utilizing an understanding that Peter is already familiar with. And Peter knew fishing lingo. Peter knew what it was to launch out into the deep. And so he has this meaningful interaction with Jesus. But Jesus used something that was common to show Peter something very uncommon. And that is this. There was a dimensional change that had to take place in Simon Peter's understanding of life. The call came in the shallows. But let's just be clear, my brothers and sisters, on Tuesday morning at IBC Chapel, it was not a call to the shallows. It was a call from the shallows to the deep. The invitation of Jesus was a calling to go to a place where you can't touch bottom. There's no way, you can't swim good enough to be able to make it where I'm fixing to take you, Peter. It's not about fish, it's about the souls of men. It's not about making a living and selling carp and bass and bluegill. No, it's not about that at all. It's about an eternal exchange, that you're going to become a preacher of the gospel that shares an eternal word. It's not about the catch of the day and what you can get for it in the open market. It is absolutely about a purpose that is beyond your present understanding. He starts with where Peter understands, but he doesn't let Peter stay there. The shallow is just the beginning. Can I just say this to my dear friends on this Tuesday morning? You are not called to be shallow. You are, if you're here in this room, I'm not saying you're a missionary. I'm not saying you're a pastor, preacher, evangelist, whatever God calls you to be. But I do believe this. We are not called to live shallow lives. We are not called to minister in our comfort zone. We are not called to minister out of our talents exclusively. I'm sorry. There's a mentality that says, you know what, you just need to play to your strengths. You need to lean in to your talent and your skill set. And I'm all for competence. Hone your skills, learn how to preach, learn how to teach, learn theology, learn doctrine, learn how to serve, learn how to do everything well. But what I have found is that God, yes, He will bless our skill set, and yes, He will bless our strengths. But you know where I've seen the greatest miracles take place? You know where I've seen the most remarkable anointings poured out? It's when somebody steps outside of what they're good at and what comes naturally and what is just second nature, and they step into a place where they can't touch the bottom. And where living is just the sustaining hand of God that takes... It goes beyond last name. It goes beyond what district you're from, or what church you're from, or what network you have, or how good you can... Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to a generation of people who are called in the shallows, but we are not called to the shallows. Ooh, I feel faith in this room right now. I speak in the Holy Ghost, and I tell you, there is no dream that is God-given that is too crazy or too far or too advanced for the people of the living God. You can do what He said you can do. You can go where He said you can go. You can achieve what He said you can achieve. Hallelujah. Woo. I've discovered in my own life, you can be seated, but I've discovered that I can minister out of my comfort and I will see a measure of results. You can do what you're really good at and you will see a measure of results. God blesses effort. That's 100%. But I detect a hunger. I detect a desire in this room to go where the apostles lived, to go where the New Testament church lived, to go where the early apostolic pioneers lived and see the things. Can I just tell you, they didn't see those things because they ministered out of what they were good at. That's why the Jews looked at the apostles and noted that they were unlearned men. Bro, you're a fisherman. What are you talking theology for? You're a country bumpkin from Galilee. What are you talking about the power? You're not from Jerusalem. You're not even from second class Samaria. What do you mean standing up on the day of Pentecost and preaching, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last... Peter, who do you think you are? You don't have the credentials sufficient to take you to Pentecost. You don't have the pedigree sufficient to take you to Pentecost. You don't have the speaking skills. Can I go a little bit further? Peter, you don't even have the developed character. Bro, you run your mouth all the time. You cut people's ears off. Let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit for a minute. You've been with Jesus for 3.5 years and you still got a litany of issues a mile long. By every measure, The apostolic church was led by people who had no business from an earthly, fleshly perspective of being in leadership, whether spiritual or nominal. But God has chosen the simple things of the world, yea, the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things which are. For the wisdom of God is wiser than the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. God took what was not, and he brought down a religious system of carnality and idolatry, not by might, not by power, not by intellect, but by somebody who said, yeah, I can't swim, but I'm going in the deep end of the pool today. I'm going to live. I'm going to live in a place where I am dependent upon the hand of God to sustain me. I refuse to live in a comfortable place. Now, I hope you have a nice house. I hope you take care of your kids. I hope you're provided for, all those things. But can I just say, I refuse to live in a place spiritually where, yeah, I got this. Man, I'm good. You know what that results in? The best case scenario of a comfort-based ministry in the shallows is maintenance. That's the best case scenario. That's as good as you're going to get. You're going to go somewhere, you're going to take a Sunday school class, and it's going to stay the exact same as it's always been, or it's probably going to go down a little bit over time. You can minister in mediocrity all you want to, and you probably will be able to maintain in your own strength what somebody has already built before you. You know why? Because they built it in the Spirit with a dependence not on flesh. They might not have been able to speak as good as you could. You know, my mind goes back to my elementary school Sunday school teacher. Sister Dobbs was amazing. She was from Claiborne County, Tennessee. She talked like this. If you hadn't spoken East Tennessee vernacular, you wouldn't have been able to understand what she was saying. She didn't go to Bible school. She didn't understand the deep things of theology. She didn't know hermeneutics from homiletics. She didn't know eschatology from pneumatology. She had no clue about that. But you know what she did? She prayed every Sunday morning, and she got a hold of a God who said, Dorothy, if you'll step out and you'll get in front of a bunch of kids, I'm going to take you and I'm going to put something inside of them, because you step out of what's comfortable and you be a voice. I'm not just talking to people who are going to lead countries. I'm talking in every aspect of ministry. You can live in the deep end. You don't have to be satisfied with the shallow things of the world. Peter says, at thy word. Peter was frustrated. Can we just be honest? Peter was doubtful. Well, Lord, that's so sweet. Bless your heart. We've toiled. You don't know this, God. Jesus, let me bring you up to speed. We have worked. We are the professionals. We have worked all night long. Nothing is going to happen. With all love and respect, God of the universe, nothing is going to happen. But he's respectful enough, and he wants enough decorum. He doesn't want to be insulting to the rabbi. He says, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down a net. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, let down everything you got. So he lets down a net. And it's amazing to me that the very first encounter that Simon Peter has with Jesus, he sinks. Look at it. He sinks. The boat, even with partners, he starts to sink. Can I just speak to somebody who's dealing with some self-doubt, some self self-consciousness issues, some self-awareness issues. Maybe you've tried to step out before and you felt like you sank just a little bit, and it might have been just a little bit embarrassing because you had to get somebody to help you, and it took you in a place where you were a little bit embarrassed and you're a little bit gun shy to do anything again. Let me just tell you, a key to successful apostolic ministry is that you have to become comfortable looking like a fool sometimes. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. If it gets on word share, it's going to be awful. YouTube is very unkind. You mess up and it's there forever. You all don't go there or watch any of that, I know. It's okay to laugh. But church, if you want to be apostolic, if you want to live in the power of the Holy Ghost, if you want to see end time revival like we hear preachers preach about, it will not happen with living in the shallows. It will not happen anchored to a place where if anything goes wrong, I can get on land like in 2 seconds. If there's a storm that comes, if there's even a cloud in the sky, bro, I am bailing on this boat and I'm going to be on terra firma and I'm going to have a good weekend. You all stay on the boat. If you live that way, you will never see the fulfillment of what God has put in your spirit and in your heart to see. You will live frustrated. You will live frustrated, and you will bring your ideals and your faith down to the level of your experience. Please don't do that, because there's faith. It's not naivete in this room. It's faith unfeigned in this room that says, you know what, I just believe God can win the world through me. I believe God can turn a city upside down through me. That's not naivete. That is faith in the forever settled word and calling of a God who cannot lie. We're called to launch out into the deep, where you can't touch bottom. Comfort is wonderful, but comfort is sometimes a curse. Comfort is sometimes a curse. We are not called to exclude. I'm going to be careful with what I say just now. We are not exclusively called to excellence and wisdom. That is not our exclusive call. Now, man, Brother Hundley said we shouldn't be excellent. That is not what I said. Brother Hundley said any old thing goes. No, that is not what Brother Hundley said. I value competence. If you're going to do it well. Do it to the best of your ability. Learn your craft. Learn whatever God's called you to do. Learn it and do it well. But understand that when you get to the terminal point of your ability with all the competence and all the excellence, it still will not be enough to produce a move of God like God has promised you to see. It's the moment when that bus comes to the terminal entry and you say, well, from here on out, I guess I just got to get out of the boat and I've got to get off the bus and I'm just going to walk by faith. Yes, learn excellence, learn with diligence, learn with wisdom and understanding. But this church of the living God is not built on your excellence. This church is not built on your competence. This church is not built on your gift. I relieve you in the name of Jesus of the pressure that it's all about you. It's not all about you. It's not how you can speak. It's not how you can pray. It's not how good you are. It's how committed you are to living on the deep end of the lake or the pool or the ocean. We are called to step beyond what feels good. I want with all of my heart. I've wrestled with this because I want to preach good. Do we have preacher confession right now? Everybody wants to preach good. In the Holy Ghost, I am more concerned about you walking away from this service free of the bondage of the shore than I am you walking away and saying, man, Brother Hunley was amazing. I very rarely use personal experience, but I'm about to use it in a major way right now. So forgive me if you think this is too much. Picture this. A curly-head 11-year-old kid whose voice changed in the fifth grade instead of the seventh grade that everybody made fun of gets the chance to sing a solo in a small church choir in an East Tennessee ALJC church up in the mountains. For that 11-year-old kid, it might as well have been General Conference. It might as well have been NAYC worship leading beside David Jennings. Because my whole world was wrapped up in that solo on a Sunday night in East Tennessee. I was nervous. My nerves were rattled. I was overwhelmed. I was jittery. But at the same time, I believe deep in my heart that God could do something through me. It was the deep end of the pool. You can laugh at that. You can make fun of it. But my guess is that most of you have lived it. That intro into ministry where you're like, you can't hardly move because you're shaking so much. And you get up to preach, and it goes about like 90 seconds. That's the deep end of the pool. Picture this with me, a 12-year-old on a Tuesday night at a much larger church Wren in Southeast Michigan. Asked by my youth pastor to do a fiery five, they used to call them. Mine was neither fiery nor was it five. But for me, it was probably as stressful and as important as a because of the time message or a general conference message. Because it was way beyond my ability. I was in the deep end. Now, you can laugh at that and make fun of that, but I was in the deep end. Go a little bit further with me. Picture this, a 17-year-old high school student, the summer of my senior year. No money, not very good Spanish, and no experience. I go to Mexico. I spend a month with amazing missionaries. I'm overwhelmed. I'm nervous. I'm not sure of myself. I've got self-doubt. I've got all kinds of issues going on in my heart and my mind. But it might as well have been an opportunity to go to Ethiopia or Madagascar and preach the national conference. Because it was just beyond where I could touch bottom. It was just beyond where you say, were you not comfortable? No, I was not comfortable in any way whatsoever. You didn't believe God? I believed God. I just didn't believe myself. It's not about whether God can do it. It's about whether I'm in the place where I know God can work. Fast forward just a few more years, 21 years old. I got an invitation to join the Associate in Missions Program. I'd done missions trips, but this was totally different. You're going to step out, quit your job, and launch into the deep, and where whatever money comes in to support you, that's what you're going to do. You want to know what went through my mind? I'd kind of like to get married someday. How am I going to support somebody as an aimer? I knew God was there, but it was way beyond where I could touch the bottom. We sometimes have this idea, and we see people, and we think, man, they've got it all together, they've got it all figured out, and I've got to have it all figured out and be confident before I can step into the next thing that I know God has for me. Can I just tell you, it's okay to not be able to touch the bottom. It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to have some self-doubt. It's okay to live in... It was the deep. Fast forward a little bit more with me to 27 years old. I'm married. I looked at our tax return the first year we were married. I had $1,700 in taxable income. Help us, Jesus. We go before the Global Missions Board. We step into that room with the likes of G.A. Mangan and Jerry Dean and like Brother Shoemake. And I'm like, Jesus, what am I doing here? I couldn't touch the bottom. I put on a good show. I'm like, yes, of course, Brother Hal. We're happy to do that. Yeah. I put on a good show, but I couldn't touch the bottom. It was way beyond my depth. I was nervous. I was jittery. I was unsure of myself. I was overwhelmed. 29 years old. We finished deputation. We land in a country that had never had an apostolic church that is 100% Muslim. My wife is 6 months pregnant, and there's nobody that can in that country to meet us at the airport. You talk about being intimidated. You talk about learning real quick how out of depth you are. You can preach a service in America to apostolics, but you step into a place where the closest apostolic church is 500 or 1,000 miles away, and everybody around you is a Muslim. You talk about getting the pride knocked out of you. I was overwhelmed, and I got a baby coming. I'm supposed to be like, yeah, we got this settled. I still couldn't touch the bottom. I still didn't know what was going to happen. Let's go forward 5 more years. 34 years old. In a 6-week period, God opened up the door without us even looking into it to North Korea, Libya, and Iran. In a 6-week period of our life. To say overwhelmed is an understatement. To say, I would be an idiot to act like I knew what I was doing. I would be a moron to give you the impression that I had it all together. Was I called 100%? Did I have the skill set within me to be able to do it? Absolutely not. I could not touch the bottom. We come back from those trips. And we go before the Global Missions Board with this crazy idea. Maya and I, in our living room, came up with this new term called Access Challenge Nations. And we went to the Global Missions Board and said, hey, would you let us do research, exploratory trips into the darkest places, the least reached place? Do you think I did that because I was an expert? You're out of your mind. I couldn't touch the bottom. I had no clue what I was doing, Brother Turner. But I knew that God had put something just beyond where I could touch the bottom. And if I wanted to go where He was going, and if I wanted to live the life He wanted me to live, I had to make some hard decisions about whether I was going to live in the shallows and be a good missionary, or whether I was going to let Him lead me into the deep places where I did not know the answers and I did not have the power. Forty-one years old, it was 2:00 in the morning. I got a call from Brother Bruce Howe. We just formed a new region in Global Missions. I assumed that the 60 and 70-year-old crew would become the regional director, because that's what we do. 2 a.m., I was half asleep. Not half asleep. I was all asleep. Brother Howell says, would you be the regional director for the Eurasia North, our new region of Global Missions? Just, here's my life, and I'm sorry, this is deeply personal. If this is too much transparency, I'm so sorry. All my life, it has felt like as soon as I got my feet under me, as soon as I kind of felt like I knew what I was doing just a little, the Spirit of the Lord would give me an opportunity. I didn't have to say yes. I didn't have to say yes. But the Spirit of the Lord would give me an opportunity that if I wanted to go in the deep, He was calling me there. I could stay where I was and get my footing underneath me and be okay and be stable. Or I could answer the call of God in directions that I never imagined possible. Overwhelmed, not sure of myself, self-doubt. It was the same at 41 as it was at 11.
I'm sorry.
It was the exact same feeling at 41 as it was at 11. September 20th, 2023. 22, sorry. No, 23. I stood or sat by my pastor in the general business session of the UPCI. I had been off social media for 20 years. My wife never had social media. Our faces were not out. And this great fellowship said, "Hey, would you be the general director of global missions?" If you think I walked to that pulpit with confidence, I got this. You're crazy. I am living in a place today where I can't touch bottom. I am living in a place where I'll just be honest. I don't have the ability to do what I'm doing. But you know what I do have? At thy word, I will launch into the... God wants to change somebody's mentality in this room this morning. There is a spirit that has told you you've got to have it all figured out. Now, you do need to count the cost. But the cost is not, I've got X amount of dollars to be able to do X, Y, Z. Counting the cost is about what price you are willing to pay in the spirit and in your lived life. It's not about being able to answer every question. That is not what counting the cost is. Counting the cost is saying, God, whatever it is, before I even know the cost, my answer is yes, because I'm going to live in the deep. I will not be satisfied with the shallows of life. I'm going to live in the deep. Stand with me all over this place today. I feel a working of the Holy Ghost in this room right now. I want to close with this. Matthew chapter 14. I won't read all of it. But it's the same sea. The Sea of Galilee or Gennesaret. It's the same apostle, Peter. It's the same rabbi, Jesus. And it might even have been the same boat. Everything is the same. Except there's also a storm now. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. "It's a spirit," they said, crying out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid." Okay, so we got Simon Peter, the guy who said, "Yeah, I'll do what you said just because here's a net." Something changed in Simon Peter between Luke chapter 5 and this chapter, Matthew 14. Something fundamental changed. Here's what Peter says in the deep, in the middle of a storm. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water." Jesus had to tell him to come the first time. But this time in the middle of the sea, Peter had been so close to Jesus that he learned, if Jesus is out there, that's where I want to be. He might not invite me And it might be a storm, and there might not be peace. There might not be all of these issues. But Peter had gotten close enough to Jesus to say, hey, Lord, it's crazy. The wind and the waves are crazy. But if you're out there, man, that's where I want to live. I don't want to live in the shallows. I don't want to be connected to the dock. Lord, if you're out there, and the answer, the single word answer of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, well, Peter, if you really want to, think about it. No, Jesus looks at him and says, hey, if you want to walk on water, come. If you want to live where I am, come. And Peter learned. Now I could preach this a long time. There's still sinking involved in this story. So the first story has sinking, and the last story has sinking. You have to come to peace with a little bit of sinking. That's what you've got to settle today. You have to come to peace with a little bit of sinking. Because the first miracle, yeah, the boat almost sank. The second miracle, he started to sink a little bit. Part of living in the deep is that there will be waves and you will sink a little bit sometimes. But if you will keep your eyes on the one who walks on water, I've come to tell a generation this morning that you can go where he said you can go. You can win people that he said you can win. There's a word of faith in this room right now. Your wildest dreams, the things God has spoken to you in the middle of the night and at altars around this country, it's not you misunderstood God. It's not you have self-aggrandizing vision. No, it's that the voice of God spoke to you and said you can go into the deep places of this world and you can experience the power of God. I invite every single person in this room not to comfort, not to leaning into your skill set, not to going towards your strengths, but to saying, God, I want to live in the deep. If that's overseas, God, I'm willing to go overseas. If that's a metro city to plant churches, I'm willing to go. Thank you.